This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new unrivaled league, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
But I sat there and watched it with a smile, knowing that Soto was going to get it done. He didn't. And I know that next time he comes up, I feel even more confident in him. And from a Mets perspective, that's something that has been far and few between. Maybe Mike Piazza eventually got there. But you're talking about a young player in his prime that is just a different animal of an offensive player. I still come away from that game, even with the result not being what you want, just happy that Juan Soto's a New York Met.
I think Keith had that feeling. You know, obviously, I would think that Met fans felt, this is a long time ago, but Keith was so clutch, and they used to actually have the stat, game-winning hits, and I remember Keith was always up there for a couple of years. But I get it. It's been few and far between. You haven't had many Sotos, if any. You haven't had somebody quite like Soto. I think that there are some reasons to be concerned about the Mets. Really, there's reasons to be concerned about every team outside the Dodgers. I think every team's got some stuff where, depending upon how it goes, it's going to shape their season. And again, not to overreact to Acuna's boot or, you know, a very much less than performance by Clay Holmes out of the as a starter. I do think that of all the things that are going to be good for the Mets this year, Juan Soto is going to lead the way. And Juan Soto is not going to determine what the Mets do this year, because Juan Soto is going to do Juan Soto at the end of the day. Now, is there going to be a varying, or could there be varying degrees of success compared to his career? Could he, you know, drop off slightly in the OPS plus, or maybe not hit 40 home runs but have a higher average? Sure, there's a lot of different iterations of Soto, but they're all really good. It's the other stuff around Soto, and I don't even mean Lindor, but the spots that we've talked about.
And Nimmo, Viento.
Diaz's velo at the end of the bullpen. A couple of things I'm looking for, but Soto has no concerns.
And by the way, even with Holmes, where he wasn't great yesterday, obviously, but he allowed 2 runs in 4 2/3, right?
Mm-hmm.
2 earned runs, I should say.
4 walks is what bothered me the most.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, that's the only thing I worried about.
True, so maybe he cleans that up, but it wasn't like he was awful. I think, for the most part, you'd take maybe another out, 5 innings, and you would sign up for 2 earned runs every time, maybe even 5 and 3 runs overall from home. So I don't know if that was that different than what you would expect to see. It was the offense that really was lacking with the Mets yesterday, nearly getting shut out until the end of the game.
Yeah, Clay just labored. You know, I think that Clay Holmes is going to give the Mets a chance to win most times he steps on the rubber. The overwhelming majority. I mean, they're not going to face Valdez every start, that's for sure, number one, who's one of the best pitchers in baseball. Pure filth, especially towards the lefties. Ask, you know, and then Hader coming out of the pen, ask him. So I think that it's, you know, it's a tricky spot against a team that's not quite the way they used to be. They've reassembled the parts out there in Houston a little bit, but, you know, with Tucker now in Chicago, but the starting pitcher's great, the closer's great. And I think that Holmes, to me, is he's going to have to be a little bit more economical, because if he's not, now the innings limit, that's going to be a real thing as we follow his progression. But I'm not really worried about Holmes. As a matter of fact, I've said many times I think he's going to be good this year.
Mets lose on opening day, but the Yankees get a win at the stadium. Both you and I were there, at least to start the show, had Aaron Boone on. It was a lot of fun being out there. We were there for both the early home runs in the game, Wells leading things off with a bang in Volpe, and the way that I would describe it and have is that if yesterday was a harbinger for the Yankees, it's going to be a fun season, because the primary thing for me is their young guys having a high impact. They have a lot of them, Dominguez, Volpe, Wells, just to name a few.
Yep.
If those guys do what is expected of them and there are high expectations, then the Yankees are really going to be a team to be reckoned with.
Yeah, and listen, it's easy to sit here after a Yankee win and feel good about things, and you should. I mean, it's always nice to win opening day, and as Sal said, the things that we or many of the things that we've hit over the winter. Some came through favorably. Great to say, listen, Volpe could have been 0 for 4 with two punch outs and a pop up with two on and two out late, and the Yankees lose. And we're like, all right, here we go, Volpe. What are we going to get year three, Volpe? It's the opposite. He went deep. Wells obviously rewarding the manager's faith in putting him in the one hole. Now, Devin Williams was not great, but that's also a team that knows him. And nobody knows Devin Williams' changeup more than the Brewers because they've seen it forever. And he threw almost 40 pitches, and we'll see how that impacts the weekend. But they caught the ball cleanly. Jazz looked good at second. I thought that Dominguez was a little jumpy, kind of rolled over a few ground balls to second base. And the thing, by the way, that I think is going to play for the Yankees. Listen, Judge is going to hit a ton of bombs, and I think Goldschmidt's going to run into a bunch, and same with Bellinger. I think the Yankees' athleticism is going to be on display this year, especially if the sequence of hitters 5, 6, 7 with Jazz, with Dominguez and Volpe have good years. They're going to run, and you didn't even see that element yesterday. So a fairly crisp win, and you're happy about it. It's a good win.
And for me, who's been as critical as Carlos Rodon as you could possibly be, I feel like we're starting to turn a corner with him. And maybe the issue, and I know he was okay last year, still not to my liking, and in the postseason wasn't very good, but there's just something about maybe the pressure now going into year three, which doesn't seem there, learning New York, getting acclimated to being a Yankee. I just feel a little bit better about Rodon now, withstanding, you know, the ups and downs so far going in this year. Does it mean he's going to be atop the league? I don't know. He's got that potential, but I feel like we're in a good spot, as good a spot as the Yankees have been with Carlos Rodon.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to be a top of the league guy, and I'm not even sure. I know why you say he's got that stuff. I think it's there intermittently. I don't think he's got, you know, top shelf. I think it's the next tier in terms of stuff. I think it's close. Okay. I'd say he's like tier two myself. Just in terms of stuff, you know.
Seven Ks, 5 1/3, one run.
I'll take that every day. No, that was really 80-something pitches. There's no doubt. Now, I thought he got hurt when he was covering first base and he missed the bag. He whiffed on the bag. That was very odd looking. And the only thing that I worry about with Rodon is he going to get in his own way? Because every time Rodon comes up with us, I'm a fan. I'm a believer. I know he's not perfect. He's probably not worth all the money that he got. But the first impression was not good. He was a disaster first year. He looked soft. He looked out of shape. And he looked lost. And he looked like he was swallowed up by New York. But like Beltran's first year, you know, 16 home runs, coming back, being a star for the Mets after that. I'm not saying that Rodon is quite a star like Beltran was in year two or year three. But I think when you show the ability to bounce back after a rough start in New York, it generally portends good things. And I think for some people, they just can't delete the first impression from their memory bank, which I get because it was so ugly, the thing with the fans in Chicago. And it seemed like he was a tough guy to root for his first year with the Yankees. That's what was problematic. It's one thing if you're not doing well. He seemed like he was becoming like public enemy number one. But as I watched him a year ago without Gerrit Cole for the first couple, I'm like, this guy looks a little different, and he looked good yesterday. He is a good pitcher.
BT and Sal on the Fan. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Matt is in East Rockaway talking about Soto. What's up, Matt?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are we doing?
Good. How are you?
What's up, Matty?
All right. Sal, listen. At least, you know, I would have liked for him to swing at a pitch that was in the strike zone, but at least it wasn't game seven against Adam Wainwright. I mean, that's the main takeaway from yesterday. I mean, at least they...
Are you a Mets fan or Yankee fan first?
I disagree. Huge Mets fan.
Okay, so you had a problem with Soto swinging at that pitch. It was a nasty pitch from one of the nastier relievers, lefty on lefty. I mean, it wasn't like he swung at a ball that... You would say, what the hell are you doing swinging at that pitch way out of the strike zone, a high fastball zone? That's a nasty slider from one of the best relievers in the game.
No. My point was, obviously, I didn't love that he swung at it. I wanted him to hit it out. But, you know, my point was, at least it wasn't in the playoffs. I'd rather him swing at that garbage now. And then when playoff time comes around, he's more disciplined. But I disagree with you guys. I think that the lineup should be different. I don't think they should have Lindor and Soto back-to-back. I think it should be Lindor, Vientos, Soto, and Alonso.
That's what I've said.
I think it should be lefty-righty, lefty-righty.
I've said that
because
for months.
And it would have been perfect yesterday because they had a nasty left-hander.
Yeah.
It is going to be that, and thank you for the call. And you're right, BT, you did obviously want it that way to start the year. The reason why it was it was Alonso and Vientos yesterday because they faced the left Valdez, to start the
yeah.
game.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
They didn't want to put Nimmo. What, Hoff? What do we got here? Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. We got. Hold on a sec here. So, yeah, they were facing a lefty yesterday, and that's why they had the back-to-back righties.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't want Nimmo in the cleanup spot. You can't say, well, later in the game, yeah, it would have worked out. Yeah, it would have worked out, but there's a reason why he stacked the righties in yesterday's particular game, and I do think they're going to do that. Against the lefty, they're going to have Alonso and then Vientos. The question is, would you have Vientos, too, instead of
I would.
Soto?
I would.
Which, by the way, maybe they eventually do that. I would not do that if Soto likes hitting second. Also, just the threat of Lindor, Soto, 1-2 punch, having that. I would prefer the way that it is, just with Vientos 3 and Pete 5.
I'd be curious to know what Soto thinks about this, because we were talking about Aaron Boone, about how he constructs. We asked him flat out, like, why Aaron Judge 2 and not 3, and why not put Bellinger 2 to give him some protection with Judge? Like, you know, like, it would make sense. And he said, matter of fact, I think you asked him the follow-up, like, is it a Judge thing? He's like, no. He's like, actually, if Judge had his preference, Aaron Boone telling us, he thinks that he prefers batting third.
There was some thought that said that Judge feels more comfortable in the two spot.
There was, which was counter to what he told us face-to-face yesterday.
Boone said flat, pretty interesting. If anything, I think Judge would prefer hitting three. You're exactly right.
Yep, and I'd just like to know what Soto thinks. Not that you cater to him 1,000%, but you want to make sure he's comfortable. And by the way, I just love the notion of a young player, Lindor 1, get a little Vientos Parmesan. You know, get him surrounded by some cheese. Get him Lindor. Get him, obviously, Soto behind him. But listen, they might get there. But a lot of this depends on what Pete Alonso does this year.
The other issue that I took with our last call, he was saying, I know what he was trying to say. I'd rather him swing at that garbage now than postseason. Sure. My whole point was he wasn't swinging at garbage. It was a nasty pitch. It was out of the strike zone, full count. Like, it was a nasty pitch from a nasty reliever. I wouldn't say that was swinging at garbage from Soto. There are certain at-bats where maybe others will. I don't know if Juan Soto does that. And if he does, it's going to be far and few between. I did not think that. Did you think that was garbage?
I did not think it was garbage. What I did see is an awkward swing by Soto, who probably has as few awkward swings of anybody that I watch in baseball.
I think
that surprised me a little bit.
I believe that he was looking for something different.
Yeah.
And he was surprised that Hader had the sack to throw the slider 3-2 with Alonso on deck.
Yeah.
And guys on. That's what I believe, just after watching his face afterward, because he's like,
me there.
Yeah, okay. I didn't know if you had that.
You beat me with the mind as much as a nasty, you know, filthy wipeout slider.
Which won't happen often, but I wouldn't call that pitch garbage. I think it was a great pitch.
No, I mean, if you're standing in the batter's box, it looks incredibly tantalizing until you can't see it.
And that's how it should be. Looks like a strike coming in. It wasn't like it was a ball out of the strike zone from the get-go.
No, but he's also out in front. So, yeah. But that speaks to, you know, him maybe being a little bit out thought, which very rarely happens to Soto. I am not saying it was, like, if he would have popped up a dead red 95 mile per hour fastball, I'd say he missed one. I'm not sitting here saying that he missed one. I am saying he was fooled. But you know what? That's okay.
Right.
Hader's amazing.
Kevin is calling from Suffolk County. What's up, Kevin?
Yeah, hey, BT and Sal. Great to talk to you guys.
Thanks, Kev.
I listen to the guys in the morning most of the time because I'm not usually free this time of day. Mm. But anyway, my take on this last at bat, And you know, these guys have been playing ball for a long time. I'm thinking maybe Soto wanted to make sure that he was the man at that moment. I'm not talking about him maybe swinging at a bad pitch or whatever. But maybe he didn't want Alonso to have, in the first game, to be the guy that comes up. And if he fails on that first at bat in the last at bat in the first game, that's a long shot, maybe.
Well, let's say it was that way. And thank you for the call, Kevin. If it were that way, I would love it. I would love it if now I don't believe that he was really giving too much thought to anything other than what pitch Hader is going to throw and what sequence he's going to face for every single pitch that was up there. I really, at my core, believe that, because that's what Juan Soto is. If he said, I want to be the guy to do the damage here, forget about who's behind him, it's irrelevant. I want to be the guy on opening day. I'm getting the 765. Then I love that. Yeah. And I do think that there was an element to that, but I don't think that's what got him out of his comfort zone.
There is no way, I can promise you this, there is no way when he was in the on-deck circle that he was starting to calculate. You know, I know Pete had a rough offseason getting the bag here. Let me not put Pete in a rough spot so nobody jumps on him early, and let me just save him the torture of taking calls on a WFAN wondering why Pete Alonso's 0-for-1 in big moments. No, it's called 99-mile-per-hour cheese and a six slider that nobody on this entire floor would even see, let alone hit. That's what happened with that. I will say this, though, and I'm okay with it as well. The willingness to, at least in that moment, you don't want to see this be a season-long thing, and I don't think it will be, the willingness to maybe extend the parameters of his zone, of his approach. Now, last year, when he came to the Yankees, yes, he wanted to prove to Yankee fans, and prove is an odd word because he's a great hitter, we all know that, but I'll just use it. He wanted to prove to Yankee fans that he was as good as we thought, right? He did immediately. Threw a guy out at home plate. It was awesome.
Also trying to get a big contract.
Also playing for the big money, no question. Trying to validate that from day one, which he did. When Judge was awful, Soto was great in April. We know the story. But the Met fans, think about the enormity of the New York stage as he processed that last year, different from San Diego, different from obviously the Nationals. Now it's both New York fan bases. I don't want to overstate it, but he's a human being. He knows that he left the Yankees. He knows that there's a lot of Yankee fans who are down on him and turned on him. I could care less. Go do your thing. You're a great player. You made a decision, whatever, you know. But there's a lot of Yankee fans who won't forgive him for that. I don't know how much of that has crept into him early, into his mindset early. And now you get the counterbalance of trying to immediately reward the Met fan. I know there's a lot of words there. What I'm saying is that there's a lot in the guy's head.
Right.
As he took his first at bat in a big spot for the Mets based on him leaving the Yankees and getting $800 gazillion from the Mets.
And I don't think that played a part in the result. I just think he got beat by a better pitch.
Okay, now the result, that's fascinating. Yeah, no, I know.
You can make an argument. I don't know.
I don't know either. I don't know either. And I'm so likely to give him the benefit of the doubt because that's why I say I don't see him. I see Judge flail at pitches. Yeah. I don't see Soto flail at pitches and be fooled by that much. So you're right. He literally was fooled by a nasty wipeout plus slider lefty on lefty. Irrefutable. Where was his mind in the moment? I don't know.
Right.
And by the way, even if
think about it though, BT.
Yeah.
It wasn't a bad at bat. Right? So you could have guys who were like, man, he just didn't have it that at bat. He was thinking too much, you know, sawdust.
Jumpy, let a cookie go down, then swing it slop.
Exactly.
I know.
That wasn't it.
I know.
Now, maybe there was a little part that was trying a little extra.
He wanted to deliver, man. And by the way, that's what you want. You want up there.
I would rather that than him taking pitches that are on the corner and striking out looking. Or trying to pass the baton, I'd rather him be, even if it's a smidge more aggressive than usually, in a spot like that. Now, he'll calm down eventually, if he needs to.
Mm-hmm.
There's nobody in baseball that I trust more in a big moment than Juan Soto. I don't know how else to say
it. I get you. He's a demon when the stage gets bigger, and he's pretty amazing when the stage isn't even huge. But I just wonder, like, if Pete has an okay year, or if Pete has a rough April. And I wonder, even though he is a machine, he's not. He's still a human trying to impress people. He's got all these things going through his mind. He's a human being. I wonder how that infiltrates his mind the first month and if it negatively impacts performance. If he's passing the baton, Pete's stumbling, Mets aren't really winning a ton. You know, they're okay here and there. I'm just saying, if that's the case, does that change his process? Because Soto because of his process.
Right.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, no, I get it. And by the way, even the look after he got beat, I still love Juan Soto. Just that
he was
look
stunned.
Goes,
like, how did you, that's not like, going to happen much.
Exactly.
I know. I've seen that look,
he was
dude.
Shocked like, damn, you got me.
Yeah.
But it won't happen again.
I've seen the look.
And that look gets me.
It keeps you.
You know.
Well, that's why you have the trumpets and the horn and the cape and the crown.
That look gets me more excited than my wife at this point. BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019 is the number to call. continue with the opening day conversation when we come back. The last time the Mets lost back-to-back opening day games.
Oh.
1999-2000.
All right. Good years, actually. There you go.
And they lost last year, obviously, opening day with the 0-5 start.
Yep.
They went to the NLCS. They also did the same in 1999 and now 2025.
All right.
So it went from losing back-to-back opening days, NLCS, World Series, NLCS, what will happen in 2025.
And I even remember the 1986 season when they won 108 games. I remember they started 2-3. They lost a couple of games to the Phillies at Shea Stadium. I remember Ray Knight made a couple of errors at third base. Like, even that team, they won almost 110 times, did not start off red hot. It's a long season, man. How many times have teams that are just trash?
Yeah, I know.
You know, they win against baseball. It's not. It's just not really indicative of what's going to happen the rest of the year.
25 years anniversary from the Subway Series. Maybe we get that.
Meaning we get another Subway Series?
Well, yeah, 25 years later.
I mean, it would be phenomenal. I just think both teams have a lot of issues to work through. I'm not saying that they can't do it. Yeah. Like, there's eight. Would you
welcome that?
100%. Oh, you know that already.
Yeah, no, because you even said yesterday, which I thought was a great point, the confidence from where we were in 2000, Yankee fan to Met fan,
yes,
to where we are 25 years later is.
I did say that.
I don't know about flipped, but
I did say that. And you know what? Yes, just to contextualize that, I did. If you're a Yankee fan in 2000, coming off a 96, 98, 99 championship, and obviously 95 was pretty good, not a good ending, but the playoffs, 97, good, long run, but you got knocked out with the Alamo home run. I mean, Yanks had won so many games. You get to the 2000 Subway Series, the Mets hadn't still won since 86. There's not a Yankee fan alive that didn't think the Yankees weren't going to smoke the Mets. Now, maybe right. If Timo runs and
whatever, but
or Tadzio hits the home run.
You felt confident.
I felt highly confident. But that's because of where the Yankees were as an organization.
How could you not?
Exactly. Unless you're just a negative person by inherently, which I'm not. If the Yankees were to get to the World Series this year and the Mets were to get to the World Series this year, I don't think the Yankees are going to win 100 games. I don't think the Mets are going to win 100 games. I think they're both going to be closer to 90 in that neighborhood. You know, lowish 90s, high 80s, whatever. And I think that based on, you know, whether it's a Soto thing, and there's other factors as the season plays out, but you can't go into the I'm not saying you think you're going to lose, but there's no way that it's the same energy like it was in 2000, and if it is, it's all manufactured.
Yeah,
what's it based on? And Yanks haven't won since 09.
Right, and it's the opposite from the Met fan perspective, whereas 2000, I think it was maybe naive,
maybe
hopeful.
Happy to be there a little bit.
Yeah.
To be in the World Series.
Well, I think happy to be there, sure. But I think naive and hopeful were the two emotions that if you felt like your team, the Mets, were going to beat the Yankees, it had to be those two things because you just knew the Yankees didn't lose. That was a dynasty that nobody had slayed the beast to that point.
Mm-hmm.
I know they lost in 97, but you get the point. 98, 99, 2000. Nobody had slayed the dragon, even with the end of the regular season for the Yanks. Still, Mets, little brother, clearly going to David and Goliath. And now, and I'll admit something, even last year, when the Mets were the best team in baseball from June on and the Yankees were not, and we talked about the prospect of a World Series, Subway Series, and I felt good where to a point was like, okay, I'd welcome it. I think the Mets are better. But it was not a confident, the Mets are going to win. It was, I'm more confident than I was in 2000.
Willing to roll the dice. Not really sure where it's going to go.
Now, because of Soto, I want it. Now I'm confident. Because I don't, look, anything's possible. I don't think Juan Soto would lose that head-to-head matchup. That's just how, and it was not one player. It's the team, but because of Soto and the off-the-chart sackometer, I'll take on anybody. That's how I feel about it with the Mets now.
As you should. And by the way, the economic disparity between the Yankees and the Mets and the way the Yankees did business back in 2000, there were just so many, all the wins, the money, the free agents, the stars, the shadow of George, all the things, come on.
Yeah.
There's no way, it was like a mountain and a speck of like a little pebble. I mean, really, it was just a very different aura. Now, here's why I would love the Subway Series. No, I just want to get back in the World Series, have a chance to win it, independent of meeting the Mets. I'll take on anybody. I just want to get back and finish the job this time. But I would revel in the opportunity, hence, notice the word opportunity, to shove it down Soto's throat.
I love that.
That's what you got to want as a Yankee fan. That's what you have to want.
Soto,
oh my
Judge.
God. You know, listen, if you think about this, the money was close. He said he wanted to be a Yankee early on. That was his first choice. I read the other day, Steve Cohen, the last meeting, Steve Cohen didn't think the meeting went very well with Soto. Things change, okay. Wow, this the unthinkable actually occurred. Juan Soto willingly left the Yankees to go to the Mets.
Saying that they were going to be better set up to win.
That's where I was going. And then if he actually wins and he speaks that into existence in year one and were to beat the Yankees in the World Series, you don't recover from that. Not that you don't win more World Series, not that you can't eventually, but specific to the Soto chapter, the Soto saga, he put words, he was prescient. Like what he said actually would have occurred. The problem is, right now, I don't think either team's getting to the World Series.
Yeah, that may be true.
That really does.
Such a downer.
Back to reality.
BT
that was
Sal.
Fun, though.
BT and Sal, the fan. Dan is in Garden City. What's up, Dan?
Danny.
Hello, guys. How you doing?
Good. What's up?
I want to talk about Mets and the lineup. And I heard BT, you previously said that the Mets should have Soto batting a little lower in this number three spot. And I agree with you, but for a different reason.
Okay.
While it's a very good strategy to have lefty-righty going in every lineup, I want to know why 150 years of baseball history and strategy was just scrapped and thrown in the pail by I don't know who. Who started all of this?
It's a bunch of nerds. That's who started it. You know who it is. Geeks.
Who?
A bunch of nerds who never played.
But why do we accept that?
We shouldn't.
Earl Weaver would turn over in his grave to say, what about the three-run home run, the greatest weapon in all of baseball?
I hear
you. You just heard Boone with us say yesterday. Now, again, it doesn't mean that that's, you know, be-all, end-all. It's not gospel just because some analytics show that the third spot in the order comes up with the fewest opportunities driving runs, whatever it may be. There, you'd be a fool, though, not to take as much data into
account.
I get that too. I do.
The more information you have access to, the more you should look to incorporate it. But I think there's got to be a selectivity that and a sensibility and an instinct that triggers like, okay, I know that this kind of says something counter to what baseball's thinking, but I feel more strongly about this aspect of what we do that was going to be counter to what the rest of the baseball world's saying.
Well, how about we
and
just
have the guts to do it?
How about we just simplify? Because the idea originally behind it, whoever came up with it, was to get your best hitters more plate appearances.
Mm-hmm.
If Juan Soto was hitting third yesterday, the game might end in somebody else's hand.
Yes.
And I would have kicked the TV screen if somebody got out with Juan Soto on deck. Soto I could live with getting out. Matter of fact, I didn't even care if Lindor did damage or not. I said, just get Soto up. Anything but a double play. Don't screw this up. Get the game to Soto. You don't want the game to end before your best player comes up.
Yep.
And having those players, Lindor and Soto, the Mets maximized their plate appearances. It turns out Alonso got stuck in the on-deck circle. But what are you going to do? I mean, I'd rather go down with Soto. So in this spot, and even if it were Vientos, I'd say Vientos I wanted third. I don't care. You want your two best guys hitting 1-2 because you want to maximize their plate appearance.
I'd love to see like a complete rewrite of baseball history. And instead of, you know, Ruth and Mantle and Gehrig and Frank Robinson and Willie Mays and all the other, you know, studs. I don't mean the singles hitters like Ty Cobb and Pete Rose, but middle of the order guys. Mike Schmidt, big homer, George Brett. I'd love to see them slotted a different one. Like, and somebody could actually do this. Just take all the games they played, and it'd have to be a real deep statistical simulation, but if Brett was always the third hitter, just every single game that he played and everything that occurred in all the games that he played, now just put him in the second spot.
See the
difference. There's actually a way to do it.
I mean, it seems
I don't
like,
know how. Yeah. And I'd like to see the contrast in numbers. Well, that'd be interesting.
Get one of those nerds on the phone and figure it out.
Get them on the phone. Berate them, too, while we're at it.
BT and Sal, nerds. All the fan. What would you? You stuff them in lockers or something?
No, I don't mean that. I just wouldn't listen to them. Be nice to see it. I really do wish the Yankees had a game. It's going to be 82, by the way, here tomorrow. 82 degrees tomorrow,
I don't understand the fluctuation.
I have no idea.
So then what?
And 51 on Sunday. I know.
It's going to drop 30 degrees?
Yeah, it's going to be 82 degrees. Yeah, well, at least where I'm going in South Jersey. But, yeah, I mean, it's only an hour and a half. Okay. I'm so, maybe 79?
What do you use the weather app on your phone? Where do you go for your weather?
I go right on my phone. Sometimes okay. I'll jump in. Sometimes, like, in fact...
Actually, 60 today. It's not bad.
It's nice out today as well. To me, the weather bug, like... Hmm. I'll really only look at WeatherBug hour by hour, like in increments if I have a tee time, or more specifically now, if we have a baseball game or a softball game that I'm coaching.
Yeah.
Like, WeatherBug's really good, like, you know, 20%.
I don't know what that is, WeatherBug.
Well, it's just weather.com, WeatherBug.
Oh,
it's one of the outlets that you could use, but it's very detailed and very specific based on hourly increments, percentage of precipitation, like, you know, wind variables. It's really, really good. So tomorrow's going to be scorching hot. I know that the Mets will be in Houston.
Looks like a lot of rain next week, by the way.
We're going to get a lot of rain. I saw that at the end of next week. I think like Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, we're going to get hit with some weather. I'm curious. And listen, to me, the real fun is when the Mets come back home. Like when the Mets come home, you know, you don't want to limp home with a losing record. And if they do, whatever, it's still early. You don't go nuts. But I want to see, I'm very curious, if Lindor gets off to a rough start, what the reaction is. Like, I don't want to say that he needs to have a good April, mm-hmm. because, well, he didn't have a good April last year, and he wound up finishing number two in the MVP race behind Ohtani. But you would like to see him get past these April slow starts, just to give the other guys, the pitching, some of the young players, you know, even Soto as a new Met, just a little wiggle room to ease into the season.
Yeah, I just can only tell you how I feel. I don't know how every fan is going to react. I think he is boo-proof after last season, at least for another year. I can't imagine if he has a slow start. I'm almost expecting a slow start. I don't think he has the answers. He's been historically a slow starter, so why would I expect anything different?
I don't know.
What's a magic wand going to wave? We asked him flat out. I said, quote, what are you going to do to stop the slow starts? He said, quote, square the ball up. Okay, thanks. I mean, it's not really much of an answer there.
Yeah, well,
I don't know if he's got an answer. He'd keep doing the same thing, but he can, for whatever reason, he struggles getting the season started. I think fans are going to be a lot more patient with him.
Oh, I know they will, for sure, but... Is there an expiration point on that?
Eventually, but yeah. I don't think it's this year. I would think more in the postseason. Just on your point about opening day,
yep.
It is unique to have, so the Mets will play straight through, no, they're off Sunday.
Oh, brutal. I'll tell you, the MLB, a bunch of dopes.
What?
There's not a sport with a good commissioner anymore.
How are they off Sunday?
I mean, there's been teams off on 4th of July.
I know.
Some of ours. Memorial Day.
I don't remember the last time a team was off on a Sunday.
On a Sunday. Yeah, that is definitely a wacky
one.
I can't really remember that either.
The Mets are, so they obviously opened last night. They play tonight. Usually today, I guess, would be the day that you would be off, the day after the home opener, you know, with the rainouts and stuff. But in Houston, that's not an issue.
Nope.
So they play three in Houston, although tonight and then Saturday, off game Sunday, which is just ridiculous to me.
Yeah.
Then they come back, well, they go to Miami for three, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Here's where it's interesting. Off Thursday, which is not, it should be, they should be playing the home opener Thursday.
So you have wiggle room for Friday in case it rains?
And their home opener is Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're scheduled to play Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Could have a doubleheader if you had to. I mean, they've done it before.
But that defeats the purpose. It is a 70% chance of rain right now on Friday. Now, again, it's way ahead of ourselves. Well, the high is 74, low 58.
Yeah.
What do we know about weather? Who knows? And I'm just going based off of the app on my phone. But my point is that regardless of what the weather is supposed to be, how is it possible that these knuckleheads at Major League Baseball scheduled the fact that the Mets have no game on a Sunday in the baseball season and then don't have a day to protect themselves from a potential rainy opener where they could just push the game back?
I wish I had an answer for you. It's really one of the easiest layups that I've... Like, you would think if you're sitting around devising the schedule, and I know that there's an algorithm for this, and I think it was it an HBO Real Sports? I remember about 10 years ago, maybe more. Probably, it was definitely more than that. It was how they did the schedule before they transitioned to digital. So it was maybe 20 years ago at this point, but it was interesting. All right, I'll give you that. I mean, it was a little tougher back 20, 25 years ago without, you know, computers and all this assistance. I don't know how... Like, if I'm sitting around, I'm saying, all right, guys, so what's the plan here? I'm not asking the room, are we playing Saturday or Sunday? That's kind of written into the season.
Correct. I'm trying to, there's no way for me to do this. I don't think I was just trying to look at the schedule. Are there any other teams at all the rest of the year that are going to be off on Sunday? How is that even a thing?
I don't know.
When has that ever been a thing?
I don't know.
I mean, I guess it could have happened before. I guess it could have, but an off day on a Sunday. It's usually Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Maybe Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday.
Monday,
maybe
yeah.
Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday for the series.
Yeah.
An off day on a Sunday. What?
I do hesitate to say never because I find myself the last 5 years scratching my head at a lot of the like the last couple of years, there's been some quirky schedule happenings or occurrences in baseball. So I'm more conditioned to accept their idiocy, but I still feel like I've never not had a Sunday to watch the Yankees or the Mets.
I mean, it is bizarre.
I don't know, man.
BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019. Ray is in Waterbury. What's up, Ray?
What up, Ray?
Hi, guys. Hi, guys. Great show, as usual. The reason that they're off on Sundays, Apple's doing a game tonight, and they didn't want to do it. They wanted it on Friday night. So I guess that's why. That's so they're playing on Friday on Apple.
Hoff is saying that's not true. Where are you getting that from, Ray?
Evan said that yesterday.
We got debating Rico Bronya podcast partners here. All right, maybe we'll try to bring some clarity on that. What else did you want to say there, Ray?
You brought up Reyes being on your show.
Yeah.
I think that's a great idea. He's great, Sal. He's must watch when he's on your show. He's smart. He's entertaining. He's funny. His viewpoint is right on the money. I think they should be using him more on SNY, and he should be a part of a lot of shows.
Yeah, and thank you for the call, Ray. We appreciate that. I love Jose. Gotten to know him a little bit over the last few weeks or months, however he's been doing work at SNY. I would anticipate more. I don't know what his schedule is going to be, but I brought it up to him yesterday. Hey, man, we got to get you on radio. I'll work on that. Mm-hmm. I think he'd be a lot of fun in studio. Matter of fact, the last time... Well, I shouldn't say the last time definitively, but I'm pretty sure it was. He came in this very studio on with Francesa many years ago. You're going back probably 2009 when we first moved here. Mike had Reyes in studio, and I was behind the scenes on that show. It's over 15 years ago.
That's a while ago.
I'd love to have him. He is smart. He's got a great personality.
Infectious personality.
Great knowledge of the game. Yeah, I think he'd be a lot of fun. So,
It's funny. The only time he clammed up a little bit or got a little tight is when somebody dropped the name Kaz, or he brought up Kaz Matsui. Yeah, it was about moving from shortstop to second.
We're talking about Acuña in the area.
Acuña, yeah. I did see that. I don't think he was giving Acuña a pass. I think he was a little light on him, but I understand why he did it. You're not going to bury the kid after one throw. I think that you could tell he's like, nah, he did say it. He's like, I wasn't happy when I moved to second. And even when he said Matsui's name, you could tell that it still bothered him a little bit. It was nuts that the Mets moved Jose Reyes second base to accommodate Kaz Matsui.
Yeah, I mean, what are we doing here? That whole story. By the way, I bit the inside of my cheek.
That hurts like hell.
And I could feel like...
It's worse than the tongue.
I could taste the blood a little bit.
Tastes good?
No, it's disgusting. I can't go on. You got the gout. I got this issue. Rick in Morristown, New Jersey. What's up, Rick?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
So I've had gout for over 30 years, and it's pretty easy to take care of.
Okay.
You just got to take a pill, one pill, Allopurinol, every day for the rest of your life.
There you go.
Well, I don't know. I hope it's not a terminal affliction here. It just... But it's not even confirmed yet. I had to do the blood test. They strongly believe that it's because the medicine that they gave me, believing that it was gout, has obviously changed the symptoms, and I feel a lot better today.
What else could it be?
It's got to be gout, but okay. I'm just waiting for the official. It's going to take the lab report. It's going to take a full day. Yet. Not official words.
Will we get word before we leave the air today? Or?
No, they said it's going to probably take... Well, now I probably won't find out till Monday because I don't know if the lab's open on... I don't even care. I mean, you hear this? These pills they gave me, they're working.
How many you got to take of those a day?
It's funny. They gave me two different things, and one was three pills, which I'm not a big pill medicine person, thank God, but... Really take things outside of multivitamins, whatever. The one thing, there was three of them, and I had to take two right away, and then the other one I had to take an hour later, so that's already gone, and started to go away. Now, these are like, you know, three times a day, and then you whittle it down to twice a day, and eventually you move on from them. So I'm hoping that this will just eradicate the issue and be gone. Hopefully not a lifelong maintenance here.
No, because the pill thing, like me with the eye drops, I'm still taking them four times a day.
That's ridiculous. Yeah. How many refills do you have to do on that thing?
I've only gotten one refill, luckily. Remember, I had the right eye, then the left eye, so I used whatever was left over for the other one. I got to go in a couple weeks for a recheck, but it does make you feel old.
Yeah.
It's like, I got to take these pills four freaking times a day. I got to take these eye drops. I can't wait for it to be done.
I mean, I don't know if it was the pills that made me feel old. I couldn't even get anybody a high five after the Yankees win.
Yeah.
That made me feel old.
Yeah. BT and Sal on the fan. Go ahead, Hoff. You got some confirmation?
Yeah, I just texted the source of Evan himself. He said they were always off Sunday.
Right. And why? It was what we want to know. We know the schedule. Thank you.
But it was always a Friday game. It had nothing to do with Apple TV. Even though Apple TV does Friday games.
So Ray misheard Evan.
Correct.
Right. So it had nothing to do with the... Yeah. I mean, I know they didn't change the schedule. I just know that the schedule was made and the Mets were off on that Sunday, which just makes no sense whatsoever.
Now he's saying he's wrong. So I don't know what the real answer
is. Listen,
here's
what I know. It's getting harder and harder to watch baseball, whether it's Apple, whether it's Prime with football on Thursday. It's just... We're jumping through hoops to watch games.
I agree with that. But also, there should be... You could at least understand that they think that they're trying to grow the game or make more money or these.
Well, they're making more money.
How can anybody justify not playing a baseball game on a Sunday in the season?
You can't, but I don't even think that you can justify putting the second game of the season for a team with the interest. I mean, you could do it with the A's or the White Sox, but, you know, the Mets have a lot of interest this year. To put game number two on Apple. Now, listen, of course, you and I have Apple. We'll find it, whatever. Yeah. But it's such a disservice to those who don't have it.
I will admit, when a game is on Apple, even if it's a Met or Yankee game, I am less inclined to, on a Friday night.
Oh, so am I.
It's different if it's weeknight, nothing else going on.
No, the problem is it's a weeknight, the back and forth juggle between the regular TV and the Apple.
That is
That's
true.
That's tough.
I'm just saying, on a Friday night...
Yeah, I agree with that.
If the game's on regular TV...
It'll be on.
A lot easier to me than to seek it out, as crazy as that may seem... Because now I'm doing extra work to go find the game. And on a Friday night, going into the weekend, I'm not really about that. Now, this is the second game of the year, so there's excitement.
How many extra clicks is it, though?
For what?
When you say you're doing extra work, think about it.
Well, yeah.
The problem is you got to keep it on then. Then you've got to go to the other HDMI 1, or I still don't even know HDMI 2, 3, whatever. But it's just a constant toggle.
At least tonight.
I can't stand it. It's like it's a tennis match, and I gave up. I don't go like that. When one of the games is on Apple or Prime, and the Mets or the Yankees is on the other one, if the Yanks are on Apple, I will actually sometimes stay with the Mets longer just because if my son leaves the room, I don't know how to go back.
At least tonight, it's just a one game.
I know.
Or as opposed to toggling with the Mets and Yanks. All right, BT and Sal on the fan. More calls when we come back.